We would also like to take this time to pray for Laura Glasser. Some of you know Laura. She's been a part of our fellowship for some time, and she was and has been embattled with cancer for some time now, and been fighting it with all her strength. And it seems like over the weekend things have taken a little turn for the worse, and she has decided that it's probably best for her to stop all treatment and go into the hospice care. So we want to lift Laura up to you. She is in University Hospital. Family is coming out. I think I heard that today she's in room 1104, but she will be moving into hospice care. So let's just pray for Laura. Father, we come before you and just lift our dear sister up to you today, Lord. Lord, our journey here on life, in this life, Lord, doesn't end with this life, but it goes on forever. And we just lift Laura up to you right now, Lord. It seems that her mansion is just about prepared, and you're ready to receive her, Lord. And so as she prepares to meet you, Lord, we just pray for her. We pray for her heart. We just pray for her spirit, Lord. And we just pray, God, that, God, you would just touch her as you just continue, Lord, to just get preparation for her, Lord. But God, we just ask, God, this is these are one of those times, Lord, that it is very difficult, Lord. We rejoice, and yet at the same time, it's difficult to just say goodbye to loved ones, Lord. But we do have that hope. We do have that hope, Lord, that when we ourselves cross that line into eternity, that we will see our loved ones again and we will be with you, Lord, who loves us so much we wouldn't even know what love was were it not for you. And so we thank you, Lord, for that hope that we have in you, and we just pray for Laura now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start the 23rd Psalm today. So if you'll open your Bibles to this magnificent scripture. The 23rd Psalm. You know, probably there's no other chapter in the Bible, you know, as well known as the 23rd Psalm. Like John 3:16, the most well-known verse in the Bible, Psalm 23 is probably quoted by more believers and non-believers alike than any other passage or portion of Scripture. It's a psalm that has such depth that it is amazing. The magnitude of that is without equal. It reaches the heart of man, giving comfort to us, giving strength to us, and gives hope and courage and guidance as we make our way through this life. It is often quoted at memorial services as giving a testimony to the one who has gone ahead before us, who has passed on and gone ahead before us into eternity. But it also is read at memorial service quite often to give comfort and hope to those of us who remain behind. It has to be one of the most dynamic examples of what we would call the living word. It touches our heart in just a way that is just unique, even in all of Scripture. And for those of us who have been born again, we have a great advantage in what the psalmist was talking about here today, because we know the Lord as our shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep. As a believer, you have probably given thought to this psalm and meditated upon it many times over. You've turned to it when you just felt the need to just get a little closer to the Lord. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and probably no other passage of Scripture gives us more courage in our faith and strength in our faith than the 23rd Psalm. It speaks to the deepest part of our being like no other. You know, I was optimistic as I started to study for this morning, but I know the Lord has spoken to you by this psalm many, many, many times over, and all I'm really hoping to do today is maybe to remind us of things that we already know, that God has spoken to your heart even as there isn't really anything new that I can tell you. But there is such intimacy and such beauty here. Its simplicity is unmatched, and still the depth of this psalm cannot be fathomed. This is the word of God spoken and written to man for man. And how thankful we are that we have it to meditate upon as the living personal God speaks to each one of our hearts today. We believe that it was written by David. I mean, it says David right here, so we know that it was. But we believe that it was written in David's latter years when he himself, rather than when he himself was a shepherd watching over his father's sheep. The depth of this psalm, even in all of its simplicity, has to be experiences that David would have drawn upon as he reflects back upon his life, as he indeed was the Lord himself watching over, lording over his sheep. Now, we believe that it was written during one of life's intense moments, though. We believe that there was a struggle, some kind of struggle that was going on in David's life. Maybe it was the struggle with his son Absalom. We're not sure, and we're just really, that would be speculation for us to think that, even as we say that it's speculation that he wrote it in his latter life. But it just seems like this is a psalm that would have to have been written with much experience of fellowshipping with his Lord and with his God, whom he knew as the Good Shepherd. So with this very powerful and personal statement of trust, let's begin. And why don't we just read the psalm together? So open your Bibles. You have your Bibles open to the 23rd Psalm. Let's just read together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, we pray that God, as we just begin to read through and comment upon these six verses, Lord, as David's heart is just revealed in such a wonderful way. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time as we go through this psalm. And we will take our time going through it, Lord. But we just really pray, Father, for your grace to abound, and that we, God, would just draw nearer to you, Lord, as the Good Shepherd. In our very own lives, Lord, that as we begin to just look at each passage and portion of this scripture, Lord, that it would be that which would just be like a magnet, Lord, that would just draw us so much closer to you, that the intimacy of our relationship and fellowship with you would just deepen so much more than we have ever known. We bless you, Lord, and we rejoice in you, the God of our salvation, and praise you this morning, Lord, as we have opportunity to just read through your word. Meet us here now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the shepherd of the sheep was a very patient person. A very loving person, but also a very disciplined person. As you probably know, sheep are difficult. They're stubborn. Yeah, way. And they're stupid. Very needy. Did I just describe us? I think I did. I think I just described us. But it really takes a special kind of person to, and a personality to manage a flock. No doubt we can see the correlation between the sheep of the field that the shepherd would be watching over and us as the sheep of his hand, as we read this morning from Psalm 95. As we know that our Lord, who is our shepherd, is watching over us, tending after his flock with the same kind of love, with the same kind of patience, and with the same kind of discipline. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, notice that David writes, my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. And he could say this because he was so well acquainted to him that he knew him personally and intimately as any ever has. You know, I often marvel at the way the psalmist, and particularly David, is able to put into words things that I would really be feeling in my heart, but I just don't seem I have the words to say them. I can't quite get them out, and I'll go to a psalm and I'll just read and that's just what I wanted to say. That's just how I was feeling today. That's just what I needed to be able to say to the Lord today, and he can do it just even not having the advantage that we have today on this side of the cross with the New Testament. He was able to do it in such a special and miraculous way because of the intimacy that he had with the one that he called the Lord, my shepherd. Now, the Lord is significant. It's a word that we would translate Jehovah, the great I am, the one who reveals himself and is actively involved in the hearts and the lives of his people. This is who David is writing about. Literally, it means the becoming one who has made covenant with his people and keeps his promises. Now, in this regard, he is writing of a personal confidence that he has. Personal confidence and trust that he has in someone that he knows, and he knows him. He is talking about a person who is watching over him. This is how he sees his Lord. He sees the Lord as having his back in every single day that he is walking through this life. And I hope that this is how you know him too. I hope that you know the Lord as your shepherd, who is tending after you, watching after you, comforting you, protecting you, that he has your back as he's leading you through this life, no matter what the circumstances of life may be in your life right now, no matter what predicament of life you may find yourself in. If you know Jesus in this way as the good shepherd, then you know he's watching over you on this journey of life. Now, there are some interesting things about this word that speaks of God, the God of the Bible. When the scribes were copying the text of the Bible, whenever they would come to this word, they would stop writing. They would wash themselves ceremonially. They would change their clothes and get a new writing instrument, whatever it was that they were writing with, and then write the consonants YHVH. No vowels, believing that this word was too holy to be pronounced or spoken of by human lips. Now think about that. Think, number one, how tedious a job this was, but then when they would come to this word, they would stop everything. You know, they would change their clothes, they would wash ceremonially, they would get a new writing instrument, and then they would pick it up, but they wouldn't write the word Jehovah as we would know it today. They write YHVH, and you've probably seen that written many times. But they believed that this word was just too holy to be pronounced by human lips. Now think about that for a moment too. What a far cry from the way the name of the Lord is so loosely used today. Not only as we hear it as and it's used as a curse word so often, but also how so many who say that they are born again believers walking with the Lord, who is their shepherd, and yet the way they conduct their life and their lifestyle wouldn't actually define that they really know the Lord as their shepherd. It appears that he really hasn't taken his rightful place in their heart. It appears that he has no authority over them. Now, let me just say, this makes for a miserable life if you are a believer. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and know Him as the Good Shepherd, and yet you're going off and about on your own way, it makes for a miserable, miserable life. There's no contentment. There is no satisfaction. There's only complaining. There's only discouragement and doubt. And the world is just out there waiting, baiting the believer to compromise their walk and flirt with the danger that is out there. That's the sheep. As the good shepherd is watching over them, you know, they were wandering. They would just go off on their own many times. That's what the rod and the staff were all about, as the shepherd was watching over the sheep. But the tendency that they had was to wander away. You can see how tedious this was for the shepherd, to just be watching over his sheep. You know, James writes and tells us, now we're talking about people sheep now, okay, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James 1:8. And double-minded seems then to describe the ones who have come into the sheepfold through faith and through trust in the good shepherd, because they saw it one time. Their life was empty. Something was missing in their life, that they needed something to fulfill this void that was in their life that was leading them to ultimate disaster. And so they made a decision to follow Him who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But over time, something happened. And the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, they continued to wander. The same bad habits that they thought were taken care of at one point in time have now begun to creep back into their life and consume them again. Thought patterns and selfish attitudes, they haven't been brought into submission to the Lord, and they're unhappy and they're dissatisfied. What happened? Well, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53:6 that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to his own way. Because basically we have the same tendency as the sheep of the field to wander. It's interesting. The world wants to equate us with monkeys. You know? That's what we're taught in school. The Lord had it right. We're sheep. We're stubborn. We're dumb. We're stupid. We're needy. You know, and this is what's being described here. That's what happened. And because of that, some are so insistent to go their own way. What a sad thing it is, because it only leads to misery. I'm not saying now that they've lost their salvation. I'm only saying they've lost their way, and they need to get back to their first love and know the tenderness of the Good Shepherd. They need to know His protection and be reminded that He is watching over them. I don't know about you, but before I ever became a believer, looking back on my life after I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I even saw how the Lord God Almighty was watching over my life. Amazing! His love is so amazing, so much so that we really cannot comprehend and we can't fathom that. There were many times in my life that I should never have even made it to the next day, because I was stupid. I was a sheep. I didn't know I was the sheep of His hand yet. But I was a sheep. I was dumb. I was doing things that I shouldn't have done. I was going places that I shouldn't have gone. I was thinking things that I shouldn't even be thinking. And yet the God, was still watching over me. He was still watching over me with the tenderness of his care, protecting me. And this is the bottom line for us as believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. We know today, we have come into that relationship with him where we know his loving, tender care for us. We know that it is unequaled, that he cares for me in such a way that he'll do everything he can to keep me from wandering. He has the rod and the staff that we'll get to later on in this in the psalm to bring me back, to discipline me, to correct me, and to teach me, I love you so much. And I know what's out there. And I know it's only going to hurt you and you're flirting with danger if you wander away from the sheepfold. Stay close to me, he says. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Just jot it down. But the writer says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Proverbs tell us, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, this is a refrigerator verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He'll direct our paths. He will lead us. I am the way, the truth, and the life is what he said. And so he's going to lead us, not into danger, but he's going to lead us into that place of protection where he's watching over us. Okay, let's go back though. This was just all about the, you know, the tediousness of the word when it was copied by the scribe. So let's go back at this Hebrew word, because the scribes also, we also learn, according to one commentator, the word Jehovah combines the three tenses of the Hebrew word to be. Yehi, Y-E-H-I, is he will be. And that's the future of the verb. Hove being the present tense of the verb. And Haya, H-A-H-Y-A-H, was he was, or the past tense of this verb. And when you put these three together, the first three letters of Yehi, Y-E-H, and you put the middle two of Hove, H-O-V, and the last two of Haya, ah, we have the word Jehovah, of which we pronounce Jehovah. And this is the one of whom David is speaking about, the one in whom he has put his hope. He has put his trust in this life and the life to come. This one is more than just someone that he knew in a casual manner. You see, and that's what the problem is so many times. When we are not drawing close and near to our Lord, we really only know him in a casual way. It almost gets down to we know about him and what I've heard of him, but I don't know him. The only way that we know him is really drawing near to him. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And this is so important to us as we think of the Lord, my shepherd, drawing near to him. And so we know him in a personal way. Well, what does that mean to us? That we know him in a personal way. We talk about a personal and intimate relationship with our Lord. What are we saying? What does it mean to us? Well, first of all, I hope it means that we believe what the Bible teaches, that God is a living being, that he is someone that we are in an intimate relationship with. And yes, this is the basis of our faith that leads to trust, that God is a living being who has revealed himself to us in a personal way, and he is there to protect us. He is there to comfort us. He is there to care for us. He is there to guide us. He is there where? Wherever and whenever you need him. That's when he's there. This alone is uniquely different from all other faiths. I don't know what's going through the minds of those who worship another god, little g, when they pray. We know that prayer is talking to and with. That, remember, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. We know that, right? Yeah, okay. So we let our requests be made known unto Him, then we let Him speak to our hearts, okay? But we know the prayer is communing and talking with the living being. We have fellowship with Him. The world doesn't really understand or fully comprehend this. What do you mean you're having fellowship with Him? Did He come over for dinner last night and He had a piece of pie with you? Yeah, that's what it means. He's right there. That's what it means, and that's what it means to us. But what's going through the minds of others that do not know the Lord in such a personal way? When we pray, we're communing with the living being. We talk to Him. We acknowledge Him. He's the living God. He's the Creator, the same one who revealed Himself to Moses. Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, I am that I am. But this is what sets Christianity apart so uniquely and differently from all other religions. We talk with our Lord God. You speak with Him, don't you? When you go for a walk many times, I find when I go out for a walk, that is one of the best times to just talk and to commune with the Lord. But then He speaks to us as we commune with Him. But I don't know what a Buddhist is doing when they meditate or pray. Oh, I want to get to know You better so that when I come back again, I can be as a grasshopper. No, there is no reincarnation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it's appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. No reincarnation. I don't know what the Muslim is doing when they pray three times a day according to their own theology. They're not speaking to a living being. Their own theology says God is not a father and He has no son. He's not a living being. I don't know what the atheist is doing when in the moment of crisis he says, oh my God, I didn't think they believed in God. And I don't know what they're doing. But I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I know when I commune with my God, my Lord, He hears me. Because I'm communing with a living being who knows me intimately and cares for me personally and is watching over me with His rod and His staff to comfort me, to keep me from wandering. Can you all hear me? I know I get low sometimes. Okay, we okay? Yeah. I got a little red light up here now that goes beep, beep, you're talking to beep, beep, you're talking too low. You can't, nobody can hear you out there. You know, beep, beep. I need one of those anyway, but I don't have one. I just made that up. I just lied to you. I'm so sorry. But my wife has threatened to put one up here, and she's the one that's going to be punching it, right? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And I said, Lord, well, I thought you wanted not to hear me. No, I'm just kidding. Did I really just say that? By the way, she's sick today. She's got some kind of bug going on, and it's not one thing, it's another, but just keep her in prayer too. But we know that we're communing with the living, with a living being who knows us. He knows us intimately. He created us. He made us. And He's watching over us. And in essence, He is there with me every step of the way. Every step of the way on my journey to heaven. Now, for us on this side of the cross and knowing what we do is so much more revealing than with David, but this is how he knew his Lord, his God, his shepherd as well. In that personal relationship with Him. Now, this psalm reveals that David spent many hours alone in fellowship with Him as the shepherd himself watching over his sheep, just talking to the Lord in the still of the night. And you and I both know that the way to really get to know someone is to fellowship and to commune with them. That's the only way we're going to get to know them, to hang out with them, to spend time with them. And no, I don't mean through social media. So David writes with confidence. He's remembering the time that he was just a shepherd, watching over his father's sheep. But now, interestingly, he sees himself as one of the Lord's sheep, even as you and I are. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. You, Lord God, are my shepherd." Believing in his heart that he was the one, that he was the one who was leading him. He was confident he was watching over him. He was confident that he was protecting him and providing for him. And guess what? He's content. He's satisfied. He's content. He's satisfied as one of the sheep of God's hands in whom he has trusted his very life with, who is providing for him. He trusts in his provision as being sufficient for him. Are you with me, sheep? Are you with me today? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, in the same manner, David's quite possibly remembering the sheep that he watched over many years ago and the relationship that he had with them as their shepherd, as they trusted him, as the good shepherd watching over him. Now, this certainly brings to mind my relationship with you as an under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. I certainly have tried, you know, just as long as I have been a part of this fellowship and the shepherd, to be able to just minister to and care for you as the best I can. And my apologies when I have fallen short on many, many occasions, and I haven't been there when maybe I could have been or should have been. But thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for God's grace and his love as he just continues, you know, to keep us moving along. You know, he is a gracious God. He will never let you down. Unfortunately, a human under-shepherd of the Lord will at times. But the Lord God Almighty, the Good Shepherd, will never, ever let you down. So know that, okay? You know, as I read through this psalm and I think about it, we see how David has changed places, and he realizes his relationship to the one whom he knows as the Good Shepherd and the unique relationship with him. And now let's remind ourselves. Turn with me to John chapter 10. And as we hear, as Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And I think it's so important to just read this passage of Scripture and look at it together in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known by my own." I hope that you know, as we minister over and over, and many times as we continuously bring the word to you, that we are trying to protect you as we watch over you by leading you to the word. And when we hear false doctrine or false teaching, you know, we will let you know to be aware of it, because out there in the world, you know, there's Christian radio, and yet then there's just so much doctrine sometimes that is just all over the board that, my goodness sakes alive, that's not what I heard in our church the other day. But then you've got this to go to look to find out if what you heard here is what's written here. But we need to know that in our heart, because the enemy is subtle. And he would lead you astray as a hireling. Now, Jesus paid the price for you, and he owns you because of his blood that was shed for you. But the hireling, the enemy, would try to lead us astray. We need to be careful of that. And we've tried to do that as we gather on Sunday mornings and meet on Wednesday nights to bring the Word of God and the Word of truth, to which you can hold on to and you can live your life by. Now, when David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is concurring, if you will, with the words that Jesus, these words here, that he would speak years later. This one who is the Lord is the master of his life. He's the one who is the authority in his life. He hasn't got the advantage that we have of being on the other side of the cross. We know he paid a price for our life. And that's why he owns us and has the ultimate, or should have, the ultimate influence upon our life. And so the reference of the Good Shepherd always leads to Jesus. The reference of the Good Shepherd always leads to Jesus. Listen how the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before him, describe him. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." It's a description of our Lord. The description. So make no mistake about it. This is a reference to Jesus Christ. He is the one and the same who revealed himself as the great I Am to Moses on Sinai. And even as the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, were questioning him, and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Haya, the one true living God, Jehovah Creator. John 8:58, I'm sorry. "And even so, the Creator is the Good Shepherd." Awesome or what? Huh? We're going to have balloons go up again, you know? I mean, there's another explosion. You know, the Creator of the universe is the Good Shepherd. The one who made us, who created us, this world and this universe. He's the one that we have an intimate and personal relationship with. The Good Shepherd. My Shepherd. The Lord is my Shepherd. And so David wrote with confidence in the Psalms. He knew him of whom the prophets would later write, and was assured of his trust as he put his life in his hands. As I said, he was probably reminded of the days that he was watching over himself, his father's flock. But now David is looking to the Lord as his shepherd. And it's interesting how he writes as one of his sheep. He knew how the sheep that he watched over, they were his life. They were his life. They trusted him. They loved him. They depended upon him. And every moment of his life, now listen to this, every moment of his life as a shepherd watching over the sheep was wrapped up in these sheep. Even as the Good Shepherd, we're wrapped up in him. He's wrapped up in us. Constantly thinking about them was how David saw his sheep, even as the Lord is constantly thinking about you. Isn't that awesome? He's constantly thinking about you. I don't know how he has time for you, though, because, I mean, you know, with me, he's pretty busy. But he's constantly thinking about you because he cares so much for you. Do you believe that this is how God is looking over you? Do you believe that in your heart of hearts? Do you know that in your heart of hearts? Well, can I hear an amen?
Amen?
All right. You realize he's guarding you, protecting you, providing for your every need, watching over you constantly. So I was thinking about that. That's just, you know, what we just read in what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is the disciples' prayer. And isn't it just awesome how the Word of God just goes hand in hand, how one portion of Scripture just goes hand in hand with another portion of Scripture, how they're all on the same page. And the Word of God is powerful. And so it's one of the most beautiful thoughts of assurance that we have as we think about Jesus, my Lord, my Shepherd. He is lovingly, constantly watching over us. Step by step, every way and every step of this life, every step. Now, if this isn't something that really registers in your heart and in your mind, then it's time to rethink it. Because this is how the Lord God, if He's your Lord and Savior and your Shepherd, this is what He's constantly thinking about you, caring about you, watching over you, protecting you. And if this is not, if you get out there sometimes and your mind begins to wander, and you're not really sure, be sure. He's watching over you. He's watching every move, every step that you take. And He loves you. So what else does it say to us this morning when we think of our Lord in this manner? As Lord, it also means that I have surrendered my life to Him. I have yielded my will to Him. As shepherd, it means I trust Him. And trust was an essential part of life for a sheep. And as we said, they're not very smart. And they're timid and they're frightened easily. They need someone to provide for their every need, and this is our Lord. And we'll talk more about sheep and how vulnerable they are and how much they need to be taken care of and constantly watched over. But I tell you, when God likened man to sheep, He did not make a mistake. He did so with wisdom. He did so with wisdom. But I'm content. Are you content in knowing the Lord as your shepherd? I hope so. But you know what? He is not only the good shepherd, He's the chief shepherd, and He is also the great shepherd. And these are probably passages of Scripture that you're probably maybe not that familiar with. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. I better do that too. Hebrews chapter 13. And we read in verse 20, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Good passage of Scripture just to mark down. He is the great shepherd. But if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, just a few pages over in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, we also read that He is the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Who's he speaking to there? Who's Peter writing to there? Well, Peter's writing to all of us, yes, but he has specifically in mind those who are watching over the flock. As you go back into the chapter, he's speaking about those who are watching over the flock, the elders who shepherd the flock. And what a precious, precious scripture that is for those who have faithfully had oversight over His people. I can only humbly wait knowing that I have fallen short many times. But I'm thankful for His faithfulness and His graciousness and His forgiveness. This is going to be a fun book to go through, fun chapter to go through. We just took a few words today. The Lord is my shepherd. Just think about the rest of what we're going to go through as we go through this 23rd Psalm. But I hope you know Him in such an intimate way. I hope that you know Him beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He's your, if He's the Lord of your life, then He's your shepherd. Because if he's Lord, if He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. And so if He's Lord, then He is your shepherd. Trust Him. Rely upon Him. Know that He will not lead you into danger. We even talked about that during the disciples' prayer. Our God is an awesome God. Let's pray. Father, bless. Bless us, Lord, the sheep of Your pasture and the people of Your hand. God, may our hearts just reflect upon this passage of Scripture today. Just these few words, as David was just, he was just declaring his relationship with You. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, as we walk out of here today, that we would not forget that. Lord, that we would draw near to You and allow You, Lord, to just lead us every step of the way, that we would trust You, knowing that You are protecting us, caring for us, providing for us as the Good Shepherd. Father, today we are going to partake of the communion table. And it speaks of intimacy of relationship. A non-believer doesn't have any idea when we come before the communion table and partake of the cup and the bread. The non-believer doesn't have a clue. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that a non-believer shouldn't partake, because he's simply drinking condemnation to themselves, not knowing really what it's all about. But Lord, we know that what it's all about is that You, the Good Shepherd, came as the Lamb of God also to take away the sin of the world. And we honor You and we exalt You and we reflect upon Your life and Your humanity, Lord, as You came from heaven's glory to walk among us, to die for us. And we know that Your body was laid down and that Your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could spend eternity with You. Lord, I don't know everybody who is in this sanctuary today. I don't know everyone who is listening to us on the internet today. But what I do hope and that I do pray is that if they don't know You today, that they would be so drawn to You that they would want to know You in an intimate. They would want to know You, the Creator, their Creator, in an intimate and personal way, that they too could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." But that takes a step of faith. It takes in coming to the foot of the cross and declaring that You are a sinner who needs a Savior, and to call upon the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins based upon the blood that He shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago. If you don't know Him in this way, can I pray for you today? If you do not know the God of the Bible, the Creator of the universe, King of kings and Lord of lords, who is coming to reign again, if you do not know Him in a personal and intimate way today, His arms are outstretched to you. As I know that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But you have to take that step of faith if you've never come to know him in such a way. I'm not talking about you came to church today. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the fact that maybe your name is written somewhere in a church register someplace. I'm not talking that maybe you've gone through church ritual. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that you know Jesus as the Good Shepherd and recognize him as the Lord of your life. And have called upon him, and you have given him the authority to be the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of lords. But to make him the Lord of your life is something that you must do personally in calling upon the name of God. And so we're going to pray. If you've never opened your heart to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Your eternity is in the balance. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, your eternity, according to the Bible, is in the balance today. If you do not know Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." If you've not called upon his name, if you've not surrendered your life and your will to his and made him the final authority into your life, then you know what? You better rethink your eternal destiny. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you just love us so much, love your people so much, love your creation so much, that you would want to have fellowship with us and communion with us throughout eternity. And you know, Lord, that we messed that up many thousand years ago. But Lord, your plan, even before the creation of the world, was that Jesus would be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And for that, we are forever grateful. Father, I pray for any who are in this sanctuary today or who are listening on the internet today who have never taken a step of faith, who have never humbled their hearts before you, who have never called upon your name to give you authority over their life because of the work that you did at Calvary 2,000 years ago when your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, if there are any in this room today who have never taken that step, never confessed before you that you are the one true living God, and that it was your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of their sin, because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. But the gift of God is life, free life, through Jesus Christ. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, can I pray for you today? You have to take a step of faith, though. It is a step of faith that you have to do. And you have to say, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want him to be my Savior. I need him. I want him in my life today. I have walked long, too long without him, and I need him today so that I know that my eternal destiny is set forever and ever and ever and ever. If that's you today, will you please raise your hand and lift your head and open your eyes and just look to me that I know that you want me to pray for you today. Is your eternal destiny set? If you cross that line into eternity today, do you know that you will be in the presence of God? If not, Jesus' arms are outstretched for you this morning. Can I pray for you? Is there anyone at all in the sanctuary? Well, we're looking out to the internet now and those who are listening in, and you know how to get in touch with us. So if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer with me now and then get in touch with me sometime so that we can get you planted into a church body that will build you up and encourage you and strengthen you as you grow in your faith. Pray this prayer with me. Thank you, dear God, for waiting for me to make this decision in my life. Thank you for loving me in such a way that I know that you care for me, that you've been watching over me all these days to bring me to this place of decision in my life. And today I humble myself before you and I ask for forgiveness of my sin based upon the blood that was shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago by you, Jesus. And I open my heart to receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that my days and life may count upon this earth as I journey on towards heaven. Thank you for waiting for me, Jesus, to make this decision in my life. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Just stay quietly before the Lord. Just stay quietly before him now. Because we're going to pass out the communion elements and just allow the Lord to minister to our hearts. Maybe there's some personal things that you just need to take care of with the Lord. Maybe there have been some areas of your life that he hasn't been shepherding the way that he really wants to, that he wants you totally and completely. Just let him have his way with you. Just prepare your heart right now as we prepare the communion table.